Ek dink nou vanoggend aan 'n woord wat ek mee groot geword het. Die dominee het altyd gesê goeiemôre geliefdes. En dan sê want dis maar eintlik met enige kerkbeweging of godsdienstige liggaam. Jy sê dit so baie dat dit verloor eintlik sy betekenis. Maar nou vanoggend as ek dink môre geliefdes, hè, dit is daar soveel rykdom in daai woord, want ons is geliefd. Die Here is lief vir ons en ek glo dis 'n groot deel van wat ek op my hart het vanoggend wat ek oor wil preek. En die Here is 'n God van verhoudinge. En ons praat oor die karaktereienskappe van God en vanoggend gaan ek praat oor God of mercy, God van genade. Barmhartigheid is seker die beter woord. Ek sal nou die definisies ingaan. Maar as julle soos ek is, ons as mense het mos nou ook baie karaktereienskappe en ons het sterk en swakker punte. En ek is so 'n bietjie taakgedrewe persoon. Soos vanoggend as ek so oor gesels net so 'n bietjie. Ek het vir Cassie vanoggend toe ek sê wil chat, sê Cassie, toe sê môre Frits, toe sê ek môre Cassie. Ja, ek sal vergeet om partykeer tik ek 'n WhatsApp vir iemand dan sê ek gaan ons gou daai gaan ek so ook aan ja, gaan ek terug. Goeiemôre, hoe gaan dit? Dis nie dat verhoudinge nie vir my belangrik is nie, maar in my prioriteitslys spring ek net eers na die job toe. Maar God is nie so nie. God het al hierdie karaktereienskappe, maar hy is perfek in alles, nê? Maar vanoggend praat ek oor die verhouding van God as barmhartigheid en God se karaktereienskap, maar dit beteken nie dat die ander soos nie B-lysie is nie. God is al die ander goed. So moenie vanoggend hoor wat ek nie sê nie, maar ek wil vanoggend preek spesifiek oor sy genade en daai eienskap van hom. En hoekom ek sê geliefdes is God is 'n God van verhoudinge, nê? En as jy met ons wil werk, as jy vir ons 'n verhouding wil hê, dan moet jy baie genade hê met my. Moet jy mercy hê. Anders dan gaan die verhouding lekker werk nie. En ek moet verstaan dat daar mercy is. So dis nogal 'n belangrike deel. En ek het net gister ek voel net voor ek preek die doel is om God se postuur na ons toe is favorable. Ek gaan nou net 'n bietjie meer in Engels preek, but he's got a favorable posture. Ek het gister die voorreg gehad om saam Burns en 'n maat van hom golf te speel. En ek moet sê so mooi die twee jong manne met mekaar. Hulle eers Dion het 'n smart pel. Die ouens hulle bou mekaar op. Ek kan weet hulle sê hier is 'n mooi pad en daar's nie dis mooi nê en dis soos 'n vriend en God is so met ons ook nê. So vanoggend wil ek oor verhoudinge praat en spesifiek God se posture na ons toe. En dan praat ons oor mercy. I'm going to talk about mercy and grace and just to get the definition up. Grace is bestowing a blessing on you that you do not deserve. So we can all test this. So I get a blessing that I don't deserve. This morning when we spoke about the victories in our lives and the things that we want to give God, it's grace. It's not because of our goodness. We don't deserve it. It's not something we're entitled to. It's God giving us something we don't deserve. But mercy is withholding a punishment that we do deserve. So if you're like me this morning, I need a lot of mercy. So and I've needed a lot of mercy in the past. But the word mercy is derived from the Latin word of merced or merces, and it means price paid. How beautiful is that, not, eh? Price paid. It's paid. It's gone. Your debt is paid. And it's beautiful because it points to the way that Jesus paid the price on our behalf, because we spoke about God's holiness and just to put it, he's, on the one hand, he's holy, he's perfect, and on the other hand, he's got these children. So somewhere in the middle, the price needed to be paid. Otherwise, he's not holy. He's a perfect God. There needs to be a price paid for sin, and that's what Jesus did for us. So many of us struggle to see God as merciful. And this morning I hope to point out from the scriptures and just going through, you know, what he says about himself, what God says in the scripture, and how we can attract this mercy and how we go about dealing with it. So the first scripture I want to put up this morning is Exodus 34:6, and just the context of this verse. So Israel has gone out of Egypt. They were called and God gave them the Ten Commandments. And while he was busy with Moses on the mountain, giving the Ten Commandments, and Moses was away for some time, he was on top of the mountain, the nation of Israel started idolatry immediately. And as Moses came down from the mountain, he saw this nation already serving other gods, making images, and obviously there was a punishment for that. And this is now Moses going up again. So God says to him, make two new tablets after he'd broken the previous ones. Go up to the mountain, and as he's up in the mountain with these blank tablets, God's going to now write again the Ten Commandments on these tablets. So it just shows his mercy. And then Moses stands on top of the mountain, and as he's on top of Mount Sinai, this is how the Lord reveals himself to Moses. He says, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And this is like one, the first scripture that came up for me about God, just what he says about himself. And what stood out for me is abounding in steadfast love. And you'll look out for these words, steadfast, faithfulness, gracious. And isn't it so comforting for me to know, I mean we're all human, you know, your love and your favor, it goes up and down, and then you nicely inclined, and you're in a bad mood. But God is steadfast in his way that he looks towards us. And this is him just in the way that he deals with his chosen people. Immediately, he's forgiving them, he moves on, and he restores. But yeah, so it's just too beautiful to see that. And this is, for me, what's so special is him saying it about himself. And it's the first thing that he says, you know, merciful. So yeah, Deuteronomy 4:31. Again, for the Lord your God is merciful God. He will not leave you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers that he swore to them. Okay, I'm just going to go through a few scriptures first to lay a bit of a foundation. Psalm 86:15. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding and steadfast in love and faithfulness. And isn't this... These are sometimes different pictures than what we have in our head. Sometimes, you know, when I grew up, I had this picture of this almighty being looking with a little all-knowing being. That was even more scary, almighty and all-knowing, and looking with this focus on what we do wrong and never forgetting. He can't forget, and all these sins heaping up. And that's sometimes a picture we've got in our head of God. But this is the contrary of what he says about himself. He says, you're merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding and steadfast in love. And that mercy is something that I believe we need to get in our hearts, because it doesn't come natural, certainly not to me or other, but we need the faith to know God is who he says he is and not the picture we make in our heart. It's almost like he says, don't make a picture, you know, when he says one of the commandments, don't make a picture, image of God. This, we can't make our own image. We need to look at the image God is saying about himself. Then I want to start by saying that's why God is much more merciful than what we are. You know, we tend to, when we think of mercy, we think of characteristics of how I've shown mercy to someone, how someone's shown mercy to me, how I've seen mercy play out in the people around me, maybe in church, maybe you've seen good examples. But we look at how David, man close to God's heart, looks at God's mercifulness. And when David does something foolish and God is God gives him a punishment, and he's got to elect between a few punishments. And one of the punishments is that he's going to be chased by his enemies. And then David goes and he says, "Oh my," let me just read the scripture in 2 Samuel 24:13. Then David said, "I'm in great distress. Let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercy is great, but let me not fall into the hand of man." So he had the choice between being chased by his enemies or being chased by God. And immediately he chose God. And the picture that God gives you, he's different. David knew this because he's close to God. He knew that God was a merciful being, a merciful father. And isn't it like that? So our pictures of mercy shouldn't there's nothing like it on earth. We can't look to a pastor hopefully we can display aspects of God's mercy that would point us to God. But we must almost remember, he's God. His mercies are more than what any human being around us can show us. You might have had the best father and he might have been so merciful to you, but God is more merciful than that. And David, a man close to God's heart, also a man that needed a lot of mercy, knew that. And he chose that. He knew that he would survive because I mean, in the hands of your enemies, you'll be crushed. So that's our image needs to be based on the godly figure, not the human figure. What attracts God's mercy? So obviously, we need to enter into that merciful place of God. What are the things that attracts God's mercy? So the first thing is repentance, and that's something we preach as well. But and the repentance has a lot of aspects, but I want to focus on how repentance attracts mercy. And the biggest example, or one of the bigger examples in the scripture that I got was the story of Jonah. And just some background: Jonah is called to the Assyrians. God calls him to the Assyrians to go and preach repentance to them because God's got this judgment that he's going to throw out to them. And the Assyrians, to give you a background, Nimrod is a mighty warrior. He's the father of this nation. They've got this great city with high walls, lots of idolatry. And they actually defeated Israel. Judah was still standing, and Hezekiah was praying to God to avenge these people. And he had good reason to do so. The Assyrians were very, very, cruel. They were a very cruel nation. So what they did is to their enemies, they would, when they defeated them, they would skin them alive, cut their skins off, hang the skins on the walls of their city, and poke out their eyes. Those are the things that they did so to put the fear of them into nations. So these were the people, and they defeated God's people. So Israel were defeated. God handed over Israel in these people's hands. So you can imagine when Jonah was called. So there's this first thing: I hate these people. I've got to go. God wants to. I've got to preach to them. But if I preach to them and they repent, God's going to show mercy to them. And the second thing is, if they don't repent, they're going to skin me and hang me on the wall. So I mean, I always thought Jonah was stupid, but the more I grow up, the more I understand Jonah's actions. But the point is, he preaches to them, and what happens? The king of Nineveh goes and he repents, and he calls a fast, and he calls, and they go in ash and sackcloth, and they repent. And what does God do? He shows mercy to them. And Jonah's miffed at this. He's really miffed. And let's just read what he says in Jonah 4, verse 11. I think there's a... Okay, don't worry, I'll read it to you. And this God said to him, "And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?" And you know, we think about this and bring the thing a bit closer home. How about, you know, it's one thing to think firstly mercy for myself. I need mercy. You can get over that. Then it's mercy for your neighbor, and then it's mercy for your enemy. I mean, if you think of what these people did to Israel, if you think of today, you know, when we think God of mercy, he's the God of mercy to the politicians who steal our money. He's the God of mercy to ISIS or the people who hate us. And that's what we got to get into our heart. He's not merciful only towards us. He's merciful to the people that, I mean, this picture of Nineveh, if I was an Israelite, if I was Jonah, I'd think, geez, I don't want these people to receive mercy. Look what they did to our nation. They slaughtered. Look what they've done. All, I mean, Nimrod was one of the like, you can read about them in Genesis. They've been doing this all along. God, if there's not more reason to wipe out them from the face of the earth and don't give them another chance. But that's not our God. And that's something that we need to, if we can understand that, I think if we can understand God's mercy towards everyone. The Bible says God shows his mercy in this, that Christ died for us while we were still sinners. And isn't that the truth? Because, I mean, it's a pot calling the kettle black. Because we've also got enemies. We've also done things to people that we might not see or whatever. But the thing is, God is merciful. His characteristic is merciful. And what attracts it in these people is their repentance. The way that they took the preach of Jonah and they acted and they repented and they changed. And that's what we need to do as well. When we need to attract God's mercy, is we need to repent. When we get convicted, we need to repent and say, change our way. Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals these transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Okay, so there's a bit of an action on our side. And sometimes we don't know and we're not convicted. We don't know what we've done wrong. But if we are convicted, if we know, or even if someone close to us or further from us convicts us, there's an action required on our side to obtain this mercy. So, it's not just there. It's an inclination, but we can posture ourselves in a way that we are better positioned to receive that mercy. Another way that we can attract mercy is sowing and reaping. So, sowing and reaping says that principle. It's a universal principle that God gives. You know, what you sow, you'll reap. I mean, you walk in some of the things that you sow. You do things, and things come back to you. And 2 Samuel 22:26 says, "With a merciful, you show yourself merciful, and with a blameless man, you show yourself blameless." And there's two more scriptures. Matthew 5:17, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Matthew 18:21-22, "Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. What? 70 times 7, I think that one translation says. The point is, the more we see this thing, and even if we don't see it, even if we still, there's many aspects of mercy that we need to walk in, I believe we need to start giving it, showing mercy to whoever, any situation. I think we must start finding these things, because as Christians, we want to become more and more like our Father. We want to become more and more like our God, and we need to look for situations to show mercy. Maybe that employee at work that needs mercy. Maybe start close at home, with your spouse and with your children. We need to show mercy, and as often as we can, as often as it's good and in balance. But let's show mercy. I believe there's a big component there, and obviously as well with people who don't deserve it, people who maybe I don't think we've got enemies, but against you. You know, maybe opposition, you're in conflict with people. Let's show mercy to them. Amen. Then another thing, mercy is not forever. There is a cut-off time on mercy. It's not this never-ending rope. Genesis 15:16, as Israel is entering the promised land, God tells Abram that he's in... is it up there? Yeah. God tells Abram that his descendants will not inherit the land of Canaan immediately because the iniquity of the Amorites has not been completed yet. So there was a let's call it a piece of string. That string, they still had a while to go. And I believe there's a cutoff point where we can't just bargain on mercy and say, no, God's mercy is, you know, it's like this never ending story. We can just walk and stay disobedient. And I think the crux for us, you know, as we live on earth, Hebrews 9:27 says, "And just as it's appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment." So God has given us, there's a window of mercy for us, and it's because the price has been paid. But once we enter into eternity, that sort of clock resets. That mercy has an end there. And that's why I don't think we should abuse mercy. We should understand that God is a God of mercy. He's done everything from his side to show mercy towards us. But it's not something to be taken lightly and something to be played with, because we don't know how much time we have on earth. You know, there's no given, not for any one of us. The only certain thing is all of us on our way to death, and taxes, of course, but... Don't go on that one. So there's a time And there's a window. Then and where's that scripture that says, you know, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. And if God, and even today, if God is speaking to you, I'll go into that later. But if God is speaking to you, and there's mercy available now, you know, sometimes there's a moment of grace that you don't know if it's going to come again. So we need to grab the opportunities to walk into His mercy. Jesus came because of love and mercy. Matthew 9:13 says, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous but sinners. That's what Jesus came, because mercy is the way, the reason Jesus came, and the way that He restored this, the price was paid. That's what Jesus came. Hebrews 2:17, therefore Jesus had to be made like His brother in every respect, so that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. So even now it says Jesus is interceding for us. He's the one that's paid the price. He's interceding for us. He's praying, Lord, show mercy. He's that, what we said this morning, it says His countenance towards us is favorable. If you have an image, and it's very difficult if we go through hardships, but if we've got an image of our Father, it needs to be this loving, godly Father, and Jesus, High Priest, praying for us and rooting for us. There's no checking and seeing how we can find fault. He's inclined towards us to find mercy and show mercy towards us. And that's why I said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart as in the day of the rebellion. Two important implications. Okay, why is this so important? I think firstly for us, you know, when we walk when I came to salvation, one of the most difficult things for me was, and I think it's got to do with all of us and our proudly human nature. We wanna pay the price ourselves. We wanna sort of know that I've earned my ticket and I've got the right to stand here. And you're never gonna be able to do it. I hear so often with young guys when we come into contact with young guys that are wanting to come to the Lord again, they say, I must just get my life right, then I'm going to go to, I must just sort out this, I must just stop swearing, just stop drinking. And the truth is, you know, you can stop drinking, but there's going to be a list of other things that you've got to do, if you can stop drinking, because you need grace, God's enablement to stop drinking. If you're caught by that thing, if it's a way of life, you're going to need grace to get out of it. Now you want to say, without God, I want to fix these things, then I come to God. It's like a guy that's sick and says, no, I just want to get better before I go to the doctor. It's like, it's not going to work. Ask. Yeah, Gussie says you get them. So why is that so important? Because I think, you know, you need to understand that mercy is it's an open door. You don't fix yourself and then walk into mercy. It's an open door. And if we need salvation, if you've never entered into that relationship with God, you're always going to be in your back of your mind, you're going to go, God can't receive me because I haven't fixed this and this and this and this. We need mercy. God fixes that when you come to Him. That's why the name for mercy is price paid. It's paid. You've got those things, but it's paid for. And as we walk into mercy, if you're through the door of mercy, God deals with those things. Because then you come into a relationship with God. And you know what? We see that every day. Waarmee omgaan word jy mee besmet, sê die Nederlanders. Your friends and the people you hang out, they've got a big influence on you. And guess what? If you hang out with God, He's going to have a big influence on you. But you're not going to hang out with God if you feel you're unworthy, if you feel that there's a separation. And mercy is that thing where God says, paid for, come hang out with me. And while you're hanging out with God, you're going to see, oh, that doesn't fit with me anymore. I don't want to start drinking. And as I said to Skalk when he preached to the young guys a while back, he said, how do you stop, you know, porn or whatever? I said, you find something better. You hang out with God and you're not going to want to do that stuff. And I think that's the thing. But if you are prevented from hanging out with God, if you're prevented from this intimacy because you feel there's this mountain of stuff that still needs to be paid for, you're not going to do it. God has paid for it. This morning's good news. God's paid for it. Mercies. So that's the first thing. Our ability, I said in the beginning, God is a God of relationships. He's taken away that stuff, but you're not, the ability to enter into a relationship is directly dependent on your, I don't want to say understanding, your revelation of mercy. If you don't have a revelation of mercy, you're not going to be able to be as close to the Father as you can. That's the first thing. And here's the second thing. If you don't have a revelation of mercy, you're not going to understand the, or you're not going to be able to, with conviction, spread the, do the Great Commission. You're not going to be able to, like Jonah, he didn't want to preach to the Assyrians. And we're not going to be able to do that because we don't fully understand that God has paid the price for everyone. There's that song that we sing, May the Lamb Have His Reward. God has already paid the price for all sin in the world. The number of people that enter into that depends on those people accepting the grace. And we pray that as many as possible will not go to eternal condemnation, but will enter into eternity with God. And that price has been paid. And the door and the payment is mercy. Yeah, so let us become more like God. Let us run our mercy full of, let's sow mercy as often as we can. This morning, you know, we're a body and we preach that, and that means that not always all of us have got equal revelation of mercy. And for me, it was so good just reading it again and just understanding that that is who God is, God of mercy. But there's some of us. Just before, I'm going to pray for us for just those who haven't entered into His mercy. But can I just, and don't be shy, but I'm going to ask just to stick up your hands if you've got a good understanding of mercy. And this is not prideful. If you think, you know what, through circumstances, Rulof and I spoke this morning. We say that the naughty people, sometimes the guys who didn't walk the straight path all the way, they sometimes have a bigger understanding of mercy. Because they needed it more. And sometimes the head boy at school, you know, he thinks, oh, it wasn't that bad, you know, that, you know, so you don't really understand mercy. But if you, not to put you on the spot, just so, is there people that say, because I'm going to ask you later to pray for us as a congregation. Anyone who just seems, okay, I've got something. And then before that, I've got some hands there, but before that, I just want us to close. I want to pray for us, but I believe there's people with more of a revelation of mercy than what I have that I'm going to call up to pray for us as a congregation, and then Rudolph's going to take it from there. So, if we can just close our eyes. And this morning, if there's been a side that's been hindering you, that you say, I want a relationship with God, but I'm not right. I haven't got my ducks in a row yet. I haven't stopped drinking, or I haven't stopped swearing, or I'll do it next year. Or if you've never entered into that relationship with God, if you're not, if you're not right with God, if you can just show your hand, and then I'm gonna have a look, and we can pray with you afterwards. So before I move on, I just want to give that opportunity. So anyone, just if you want to be prayed for, I'm not going to call you out in front, but just give me an indication and we can pray for you afterwards. Okay, and then I'm going to, those people who raised their hands with revelation of mercy, if you can just come up and I'm going to pray for us and then hand over to you, just to pray over our congregation for mercy. So Lord Jesus, as we come up this morning, I thank you just even when I was preparing for this, just the revelation of your mercy. And this morning, I know that we need your mercy. And I pray that you, through the ministry of these prayers, that you'll not only give us a knowledge of mercy, but a revelation, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Father, you know the places that I've been, Father. I was really, really in the mud, and you've taken me out of that, Father. I've been forgiven much, and that is why I love much, Father. And I pray, Father, that each and everyone in this congregation will just start having a fresh revelation of who you are, Lord, the merciful God that you are, Father. We can never go too far from you, Father. I can testify of the places that you've taken me out. And I'm eternally grateful for that, Lord Jesus, that you have healed my family in every possible way that you could, Father. And you are still busy every day. And I just want to give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, Father. You truly are a good Father. And I pray, Father, that every person here will know, come to know the Father that you are, the loving, merciful Father, Lord. Amen.
Yes, Lord, I just want to ask you for your mercy and your grace to help us to show mercy to those who have wronged us, those who have hurt us so deeply and wounded us, where we've wanted to seek your vengeance, Lord. Your word says vengeance is yours. It's yours to repay. But Lord, you call us to something higher. You call us to pray a blessing over our enemies. And Lord, I pray for the grace to be able to lift up those who've hurt us, those who've wronged us, and to be able to bless them, to be able to pray to you for mercy. Lord Jesus, you are example. Lord Jesus, you asked that the Father forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Lord, I pray that we'll be able to reflect you by having similar hearts, where we can extend mercy and want the blessing of those who hurt us, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Yes, Jesus, thank you that we once were lost, but now we are found. Lord, that we were in deep darkness, and it was there that you saved us. Lord, thank you that you came with your light on a rescue mission for us, Lord, that we are nothing without you. Lord, thank you for your grace that we can't go without, Lord. We can do nothing without you. Yes, Jesus, I pray for a fresh revelation of who you are. Ja, Jesus, Here, kom wijs voor ons jou genade en jou liefde. Your mercy, Lord. It's not that we deserved anything of it, Lord. Here, daar waar ek ook in my leven soveel keer in my eie kracht probeer het om goeders te fix en goeders te doen, Here, maar waar jou genade my precies kom ontmoet het waar ek is. I pray that you would come and meet everyone where they are. And that you would pick up the pieces in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. God, we turn to him who has consigned all to disobedience so that he might show mercy to all. Lord, we thank you that this morning we can hear about and we can talk about and we can consider a God who desires to show mercy. Father, we honor you this morning as a God who sees the depths, who sees the most dark areas, and still you desire to show mercy. Father, we thank you that this morning we are turning to a God who does not delight in the death of a sinner, but you delight in the repentance that leads to life. And Lord, this morning, as you want to bless us with that revelation, we bring our amens and we say, yes, God, may you grant us an understanding. May you tear the veil over every area where the devil says that area is too dark or that depth is too deep. God does not want to show mercy on you. Lord, we want to declare we believe it's a lie. And Lord, we pray that those lies will be broken off your children right now. We pray they will be broken off your church right now. I pray that wherever we are looking at another person and we've got a log in our eyes thinking that their sin is worse than our sin, Lord, I pray that you will deliver us from that thing. Lord, I pray that the logs will be removed, Lord, that the specks will be removed, God, and that we will receive mercy and give mercy as you have intended us. Father, so is your beautiful design. And as the scripture says, how unsearchable are your ways beyond understanding. Who can know them? Lord, we want to say we want to know them. Won't you grant us an understanding of your mercy? That like Jonah after the whale, we will be able to do what you say and give mercy even when we don't want to. We ask you for that, Father. By your Spirit, even right now, any person that feels intimidated by his own sin or depravity, Lord, we pray that you would break it off. Even right now, Lord, break it open in our midst in a most beautiful way. We want to be those who understand mercy and know a merciful Savior. Thank you for this word and thank you for this morning. We bless your name, God. We believe that you want to give this. We believe that it wasn't Fritz who just thought it up one evening. We believe it is by your Spirit translating to us what is in the heart of Father, what is happening in the prayers of Jesus and is being administered by his Spirit on earth. We believe it, God. Help us in our unbelief, we pray.
Just a couple of years ago, I knew a man in another congregation. And he'd committed a murder. And he was not able to worship in church. He wasn't able to put up his hands. And he said to me, I can go to the front. I can stand in the aisle. But I can't lift up my hands. I can't worship God because of what I've done. And I used every possible angle that I could to convince him that God's mercy was available to him. But he just could not see it, and he could not receive it. He was saved, but he never fully experienced the kingdom. Could not live in the freedom of the kingdom because he felt so guilty because of what he'd done. He's now since passed away. God took him. But I always think back on that scenario, that event, that person, those conversations, that there was something made available to him, but he didn't receive it. He didn't even have to take it. It's there to be received. And he could have lived a very different last bit of his life. And Chin had a dream. Where's Chin? Chin had a dream, and we need to release this. I'm too scared not to release it. Because if it's for one person this morning, then that's what Jesus wants to do. So I just want Chin to share what she dreamt and what she felt. And I want, it's almost like it's a warning in a sense, but it's God's mercy. God warns not because he wants to punish. He warns because he's merciful, right? Because he wants to unveil and reveal something and make something available that often we don't want. And we must be careful to think it's the big things like the murder, but it could be something really small and minute, but he wants us to experience the kingdom in its fullness. But let Chin tell you what she dreamt.
I just had a dream of, which was a remembrance from years ago when we used to go on a camp and there was a prayer chapel. And so I was kneeling in the prayer chapel and I had an incredible sense where I was praying about the depth of our sin and how we need salvation because the awareness, and it's that same thing that Fritz was talking about, the revelation of God's mercy. We need to be so aware of God's holiness that we can't stand before him unless we have that revelation that his mercy is for us because of the depth of our sin. Okay. I just thought maybe the socks were a bit funny. But I have a pair of socks that a friend gave me for my birthday, and they are wool socks. And I just had like a picture about that I just felt came together. So the socks were actually too big for me. And I just felt that that was an analogy of our own self-importance, and that our feet are like Jesus. And so my socks were dirty, and I wanted to wash them. So I feel that the soap is the cleansing blood of Jesus. And so I wanted to wash my socks in hot water, because when you wash wool in hot water and you agitate them, it shrinks the wool. And so I did that, and now you can't wring them because, so I just squeezed the water out. And the thing is that now they fit my feet. And the hot water is like your circumstances. That, like Fritz was saying, first you've got to get right, and then you come to Jesus. If you're in the hot water, you need to understand that you need Jesus. You need that fresh revelation. And so because of the sock shrinking, now that makes you fit the shape of Jesus. And, that's just what... So it's just fitting into the shape of Jesus because of that revelation.
So I wanted to release that word because, that could be for one individual. It could be many of us. But can we just close our eyes just where you are? I just want to give a moment for you to do business with God. And if there's something that spoke to you, if there's something where you think you need an adjustment, where you need God's mercy, God to be gracious and compassionate and merciful to you, to come into the situation. And as Fritz said, the window of opportunity doesn't last forever. That's the scary bit. That God offers an opportunity and He wants to show mercy. If there's an adjustment that's required, I want to give you a moment, just where you are, to just do business with God and say to Him, Lord, in this area, I had this passing thought of an area in my life, and I want to bring it to You, and I want to ask You to be merciful to me, and I want to thank You for Your mercy. I want to thank You that You make it available to me, and I want to receive it, and I want this to change, because repentance means I'm changing my mind. I'm changing my mind about this, and I don't want to do things this way. I want to do it in a different way. Whatever it may be, it can be the smallest of things. Just want to give an opportunity, you, to do business with God. And then we can close.